This would be Bill Belichick is doing it with mirrors. He's lost seemingly half of his starters. Next Patriots possession is a draw to Kevin Falk. It's a pretty good run until Brock Marion strips him, keeps working on the ball. Dolphins defense forces the turnover, and the Dolphins lead it 10-3. And then Brady to David Gibbons, 24 yards, and all of a sudden, the Patriots late third have tied the game at 13. Well, there was the big play there. Orlando Mari trying a 35-yard field goal off the dirt, and it's blocked by Big Richard Seymour. And so, the special teams play, we go to overtime. The Patriots as the visitors have the call. Because the Marlins are playing baseball. It's off the dirt, and Orlando Mare. Oh, Mare. Wide right. After that missed kick. Right for the jugular. Brady, Troy Brown, and
Van the Renown.
Good go. All the way. 82 yards. Patriots win. 19-13 on the bomb.
Wow, what a day.
Forgot all about that coin toss.
What a day it was all the way back. On October the 19th, it was week 7 of the 2003 NFL season. It turned into a 19-13 overtime win against the Miami Dolphins. Christian Fourier started in this one, 2 catches, 16 yards, and, well, a little bit like Charlie Weiss. Remember we had Charlie on to go down memory lane in 03, and we picked a game where they didn't score any points?
Yep.
We're about a week early for this guy, but joining us now on the Harbor One hotline, hold on here, as the sheet tells me, the second greatest tight end from the University of Colorado, that would be Daniel Graham with Gresham Fourier. Dan, it's Gresh. I know you know Fourier. How are you?
Oh, how you guys doing? You know, we need to correct that. You know,
we do.
Tight end. Yes, we do.
So I've been given some bad information. You know, when I go to RalphieReport.com and I see the all-time rankings, it's really 1-2, and then there really isn't a third in the history of the University of Colorado. It was either first-round pick Dan Graham or high second-round pick Christian Fourier.
Hey, well, you know what? I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, I came in and I wanted to follow Christian's footsteps. You know, we both had the same college coach, and I was just fortunate enough to also, you know, wear that black and gold like Christian did.
It is funny, though, even though I remember I was at a time where I don't know if I've told you this, but, like, you came at a perfect time of, like, my life, because if I was 5 years younger, I don't think we'd like each other. But since I was old and I really cared, but I was, like, really ready to kind of take the easy street, and Dan was such a great rookie, and you've heard me say this before, great rookie, tough guy, little nutty at times, excellent player, of course, had what Dante Scarnecchia called, and I paraphrasing, one of the greatest offensive plays he has ever seen is when Dan took a screen pass against the Atlanta Falcons, ran over like half their team, jumped over the other half, and then ran it in for a touchdown. You remember that play, Dan?
You know, I do, man, and, you know, a lot of people don't even know I dislocated my shoulder in that game, too. You know, but I would like to say to you, Christian, see, Christian, you came to the Patriots at a great time in my life, you know, with me being a rookie, not knowing what the NFL was, not knowing anything, and the fact that we came from the same school, we had the same coach in college, it made it easier for me coming in as a rookie to the defending Super Bowl championship team.
Yeah, I'll say one of the funny stories, and we'll get to the season in a second, because I do remember this about Dan, and I thought this was like, remember the tackling drill I talked to you about, Gresh?
Yeah.
Like, so Dan loved this drill. Dan was the type of guy, like, he wanted to do this drill over and over again because he wanted to run people over.
Okay.
And I remember I would get my one rep, I was like, I think that's enough for me. Dan, because Dan would just, I think you loved running over linebackers, DBs, whoever you could get your hands on. That's how what a physical runner he was with the football. You remember all those extra opportunities I gave you?
You know what? And I was so happy to take them, because my thing was I want to challenge anybody. I want to see if anybody wants to hit me, because I had one move my whole career, and that was straight ahead. So who wants it?
Not many.
So, Dan, once you got to the Broncos or the Titans in 2010 and 2011, Were you the Fourier allowing the young buck in that drill to take all the reps, and you found your way to the back of the line the way Christian taught you 8 years earlier?
You know what? It's so funny because when I got to Denver, and this is when Josh McDaniels got to be a head coach and stuff, and it dawned on me why Christian was letting me take all these reps. I'm like, what am I doing out here doing this stuff? You know, now I see why Christian was letting me get him and stuff. You know, it's like we don't need to waste these hidden drills, you know, during practice. Let's just get these in the game.
So Daniel Graham is with us as we take a walk down memory lane of the championship season that is 2003. So, Dan Graham, I want to start with you were a rookie in 02. You're playing with Fourier. It ends up a 9-7 season. They don't follow up the Super Bowl. You go into 2003. How different, Daniel Graham, for you individually was 2002 to 2003? Was it light years difference, even just having 1 year of experience in the NFL?
You know, it was night and day for me going into year two. And I remember Coach Belichick telling me when I was a rookie, if I can block Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel, I can block anybody in the league. And, you know, Willie McGinnis, you know, for me, it taught me how to block somebody who was much bigger and stronger than me. Mike Vrabel taught me how to hold because he was so good at getting my hands off of him when I blocked him. And I remember going into training camp my second year, and I felt like, okay, I can block these guys. I have no problem now with dealing with these guys. And I remember going into the first game that season, Willie and Mike came up to me and said, okay, you know, this is no longer training camp. You see what you got. And as far as me being my blocking, I'm not going to say I'm a blocking tight end. I hate that word. But as far as this other part of my game, which was blocking, they really helped me out. And it showed year two for me. Playing that year, my second year.
So we're talking to Dan Graham. And Dan, were you surprised at how, I don't know what the word is, I guess, engaged they were with you and your development? Because back in those days, if anyone who's listening, like, there was a ton of one-on-one blocking drills, two-a-day practices. So there was a wee battle against the outside linebackers every single day during camp. Were you surprised at how willing they were to coach you and to help, I would say, develop you as an overall player?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, for me, Christian, when I got drafted, the Patriots knew I can block because I was taught this at the college level, which a lot of tight ends aren't nowadays. So I came in already knowing how to block, footwork, handwork, and everything. They just sharpened my tools, you know, going in there. And you know, and like I say, coming in as a rookie, you know, you really don't know anything about the NFL. I mean, you go from college to where now everybody at every position in the NFL is good. And so what they did was really help sharpening my tools. And I, like I said earlier with Mike and Willie, and it helped out so much, you know, in my game and throughout the rest of my career.
Daniel Graham is with us in our walk back of 2003. Daniel, you mentioned night and day difference year one to year two. How about that team in 03? Like, I'm curious through your eyes what you were thinking, considering 2 years before there was a championship, the 9-7 during your rookie year, and then going into 03. Were you at a point like to have been savvy enough at that time, just having 1 year of experience, to know whether you guys could be really high-end good or not? What was sort of your feeling about the team going into that season?
Well, for me personally, like you say, I was still young in my career, and so I really did not know how good of a team we were. And my thing was, okay, now I'm ready. I've had a year experience. Now I can really contribute and feel like I'm really helping this team, you know, doing my part, you know, help this team win and stuff. And, and for me, every week it was like, okay, the next week. And honestly, I really didn't even remember the win streak because I'm trying to get focused on to the next week, just to do my part, contribute, you know, like saying the famous quote, do my job and everything. And it really wasn't until later on in the season, I really sat back and looked to see how good we were as a team.
So, Dan, I don't know. Let me know, like, what do you remember about this game against Miami? At the time, Russ start 2-2 to start the year, started ripping off some wins. You head to Miami where the Patriots, now you and I didn't really have a ton of experience because that was both of our second year there. But even the year before, we had gone down a week, a day early to practice, and that still didn't work. So getting a win in Miami at that point in time, what do you remember about that game?
You know, I remember just leading into the week, you know, Coach Belichick is just talking about how hot it's going to be, hydrating. That we haven't won down there in years. And, you know, it was, you know, for whatever reason, you know, regardless of what the records are, Miami's always a tough game, and especially going to Miami, it's always tough. You know, I always would look at the schedule and hope that we would go to Miami later on in the year when it's cold in Boston and stuff, just because I knew it wouldn't be that hot. And, you know, I really – didn't realize how hot it was in Miami. And it's just, you know, I just remember Belichick just harping over and over, just hydrating, just stay hydrated, and, you know, just how we have not won down there.
Dan, how'd you like playing on that baseball diamond?
Oh, you know, now that I'm done playing, I mean, it was horrible. And I'm glad that teams don't have to play on that anymore. That's the worst thing ever, to have to play on half dirt and half of a football field.
See, that's so every guy in New England, it was, okay, when are you playing Miami? And then not, and because the other thing is, if one, you don't want to play there in the fall because the baseball diamond is still there and the weather. So it was like twofold. Like the once baseball season was over, like, all right, great. They're going to put some nice sod in there. It'll be perfect. And they remember also, Dan, they made the visiting team warm up in the dirt. Like they didn't get, because half the field was all grass.
Mm-hmm.
The other half was just crap. And it wasn't like, it was like hard. Like, they didn't, like, soften it up at all. So you were leaving there with a bunch of raspberries.
Yeah, I mean, you were getting those just in warm-ups, too. You know, you try not to fall in the warm-ups.
The other thing I remember about this game, Dan, and I don't know if you remember, because we got to let you go soon, is the bus ride to the airport is something that stands out to me.
Why?
Well, I don't know if you remember, because I remember – like, we had never won down there, and it was a huge win, and there was a lot of, like, jarring back and forth to the other people who were in traffic with us. I don't know if you remember that at all. The bus I was on, like, we were giving everybody the finger.
You know what? I don't remember that, Christian, at all. And I think I was still young. You wouldn't allow us on your
bus.
No,
you couldn't come on the bus. That's right.
I thought it was bus one, bus two, bus three. Isn't that the deal? Or it wasn't offense, defense, or anything like that? Or, like, were you active, Fourier, and shunning young players like Dan Graham?
No, Dan knows we never shunned him. We may have looked at him weird.
You know, you...
Like, you don't belong. It's like you're in the wrong neighborhood.
Dan, there's one thing we've learned about Fourier. His memory of things could be a little different than the way others remember it 20 years later.
Oh, and that is a true statement. You know, he remembers everything different from what the truth is.
It's selective, Dan. It's selective. Selective. And, you know, and it's funny thing. So last week we had Charlie on. He talked about, you know, how we picked him. He came on at a game, for a game there. The offense sucked. And this week the offense doesn't really do much. You know, you only had, what, two catches? Hell, I caught more catches. I caught the same amount of catches. I had more yards than you. I totally outperformed you in that game. But the next game, Dan, the next game, you went off in a 9-3 win against the Cleveland Browns. What did you have?
7 receptions for 110 yards in that game.
Wow.
In a 9-3 win. What do you remember about that game the next week, Dan, week 8 in Cleveland?
You know what? I just remember it being a gloomy game. And their defense was good. And if I can recall, I mean, they really never stopped me on the under route. I think I was running 5-yard routes and then taking them upfield and stuff. And, you know, that was a tough game just for us offensively. I mean, we really couldn't move the ball that much in that game.
Can you imagine, like, that's a team, like, and nowadays with such an emphasis on scoring points and the way the rules have changed, that team, that 2003 team, benefited, won a game 9-3. When you think about the weapons and the fact that Tom Brady was on that team, Dan, we could only generate 3 field goals, regardless of how good that Browns team was.
you know, it's crazy because nowadays you would hear so many fans complaining that their fantasy football, you know, score sucked because, you know, we couldn't, you know, move the ball, you know, it wasn't high scoring game there. But, you know, it was just, you know, I mean, I hate to be that guy to say, you know, it was different football then. But, you know, I mean, it really wasn't a passing league. I mean, you know, it was, you know, every week for us, even that year, was just tough going into every game and stuff. And, you know, the Browns had a good defense that year.
Wow. Dan, what do you remember? You got towards the end of this 03 season. You guys had a great record. What was it like for you? Because it really could have the same sort of question for Christian as well. But once you knew, holy crap, we got a chance to win the whole thing. How did that year kind of close out for you mentally, Dan Graham?
Well, you know, I always just, you know, kept in mind that Christian has been in the league for so many years now, hasn't had this opportunity. And, you know, here for me, year two, and I also think about it as well, my father played 7 years in the NFL, never went to the playoffs. And so the fact that, you know, my second year, I have an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, let alone win it. And, you know, it turned out just to be a great year. And I just remember after the game, finding Christian and just giving him a big hug. It's like, you know, we did it, you know. And it was just exciting that, you know, we both came from the same college, and to be able to win the Super Bowl together, it was such a great experience and great moment in my life.
Now, did you have to wait until Christian got done mugging for the camera around Jesus. Adam Vinatieri before you could give him a hug?
Well, you know, see, this was the savvy thing about Christian, too. Like, Christian knew to jump into camera shots and all this other stuff. You know, that's why, you know, when I look back and reminisce, I'm like, I don't even see myself too much. But there is a shot, though. It was a perfect shot, though, of me and Christian hugging each other. But I know Christian is in every other shot, photobombing every other picture, you know, everything. And he didn't let me know about that for later on in life when we're done with football, that you're still going to be in history and they can see it.
Even if you didn't do anything. Here, sneaky little, like, little insight on that Adam Vinatieri kick. So Dan plays the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
I play the right wing. So the ball was on the right hash. So I had nobody rushing me. So I was able just to kind of literally step and turn. I turn, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, Dan has to handle the rush. I was so happy that I didn't have to handle that rush just because it's just, God forbid, something went wrong. You're immortalized for the wrong reason. So in that still frame, you could see me turning and the ball going through, and there's Dan trying to block two people at once. That was the best part about that.
Getting ran over.
Yeah, there it is.
Well, Dan Graham, this has been a heck of a lot of fun walking down memory lane. By the way, we plan on doing this next year because y'all went back to back. So I know you're an FOF, a friend of Foyer, but you can consider yourself booked at some point for next year as well. And thank you for setting us straight on some of the things that we have heard from Foyer. Not only about this season, but also the whole, you know, tete-a-tete with Colorado and all that kind of stuff. Good to know, Dan, that we got the real story from someone like you.
Hey, well, you know what? I like to tell nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And next time I'm on, let's just talk about, you know, I know Christian has not told you about the game where we came out with no sleeves, but then he came out with halftime with sleeves on. You know, that's another story. We'll talk about
that
later.
Save that one. Oh, I love
it. Save that one.
Daniel Graham,
I don't like being cold.
You made our day, friend. Hey, Dan, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
great
buddy.
Walk. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Take care.